Like to speak to you on the subject of Jesus, your only way to God. Bible says in Romans 3:12, A, they're all going out of the way. Also in Isaiah 53:6, A, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. These verses clearly tell us we're not on the way to heaven. We don't know the way to God. We have gone out of the way. We've gone astray. We've turned to our own way. All of us have done it, and therefore we're all guilty before God. And this selfish, sinful way will not get us to God and will not get us to heaven. Man's communion with God was lost in the Garden of Eden. It is recorded in Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and fell into sin, when they sinned, they died spiritually, and that was transmitted to all men. Romans 5:12 speaks on this subject. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Henceforth, humanity became a small island in mid-ocean without material for bridge or boat to get us back to God. But merciful God Almighty promised us through prophecy in the Old Testament that a way would be provided for man to have fellowship with God and have eternal life. One of these promises were given right after men fell into sin. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first of many prophecies concerning the coming of Jesus to crush Satan's power and bring deliverance to us. Another beautiful prophecy is given in Isaiah 35:8, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. In the New Testament, Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies when he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In all his dealings with man, God has been constructing a highway from bondage to spiritual freedom, from sin to holiness, and from guilty selfishness to sacred service, from utter ruin to complete salvation. He was engaged in this divine procedure when he spoke to us in the Old Testament through the patriarchs, when he instituted the law, when he gave us the prophets, and he completed this way when the fullness of time was come. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's recorded in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Jesus Christ had so much to do with preparing for us the way to the heavenly city that he spoke of himself as actually being the way. In Jeremiah 6:16, God calls it the good way. He says, walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. It is truly a good way. Thank God that we can walk that way, and it's the only way that we can find rest for our souls. Jesus made the way. In Philippians 2:8, it's recorded, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The death of Jesus was absolutely necessary for our salvation. There was no other way to come to God. He was the holy, immaculate, spotless Son of God, the only one that was qualified to be our Redeemer. He poured out his blood and thus poured out his life, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. All this was done in obedience to the Father's plan from the beginning of the world to build this way from earth to heaven. This is wonderful news that Jesus made the way and that we can know the way and we can walk the way. This way is wide enough and strong enough to hold the whole human race because it is built on the rock of ages. He has made provision for anybody and everybody to be saved. Man could never build this way. Christ alone could do it. He was here for 33 years building it. It was difficult. The West Virginia Turnpike is considered the most difficult stretch of highway ever built in the United States of America. But this is nothing in comparison to the highway Christ built to God in heaven. Jesus sacrificed much to build it. He suffered to build it. He bled and died to build it. Really, with man, it was impossible to build a road to God. But with God, all things are possible. So there's no one excluded. Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to circle the words, whosoever. That includes me, that includes you, it includes everybody. Some may think they're too sinful or too bad to be included in this invitation, but Jesus came for that reason. No other reason did he come. 1 Timothy 1:15 is a beauty. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus is the only way to the Heavenly Father. Remember the scripture that we cited earlier in John 14:6. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This sounds narrow, and it is narrow. But do remember that all truth is narrow, whether it is mathematical or geographical or scientific. Take mathematical truth, for instance. 2 and 2 is 4. If you would say 2 and 2 is 6, you'd get into big time trouble with the Internal Revenue Service and with your bank. And we accept that as truth, and it's very narrow. And that is also true whether it is scientific or geographical. Here are a few more scriptures for your consideration. 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The word there is mediator. This is a very important word. A mediator is one who mediates. It's a go-between, one who brings an agreement between persons or sides to be a connecting link. The fact that there is a mediator between God and men unquestionably proves an alienation which needs reconciliation. The need for reconciliation is on man's part, not God's. Man is too sinful to approach God on his own. He needs this go-between, this mediator, this spokesman. Jesus became this mediator when he shed his blood and died for you. Hebrews 7:25 tells us, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. This scripture tells us plainly that he is able to save anybody. But the qualifying statement that follows is that come unto God through Jesus. The scripture says come unto God by him. But the him is Jesus, that come unto God through Jesus. If we don't come through Jesus, it is not possible to be saved. Another scripture that teaches the same truth is Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's also a very narrow truth. And we see then that Christ spans the distance between God and the sinner. Man would like to manufacture a ladder of his own by means of resolutions and reformations to climb up to God. But that is impossible. That is the way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's recorded twice in the book of Proverbs, and this scripture is recorded in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. The glorious truth is that Christ came all the way down to sinners to bring us to God. All other religions are trying to crawl up and come up to the level of God and to find God. But in this truth we have here today is that God through Christ came all the way down to bring us to him. You may think there are many ways to get to heaven and to come to God, and one is as good as the other. In answer to that, the Bible says in Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, beside me there is no Savior. Christianity is the only religion whose founder died and rose again and is alive forevermore. Jesus is also called the narrow way. The narrow way is contrasted from the broad way in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, or the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Oh, the road to heaven is narrow. It's a narrow way. Narrow way, we would say, is a difficult way. There may be some hardships, and there may be oppositions, and there may be misunderstandings. In this narrow way, it is narrow in that we must enter alone, or we must come single file. It's like going through a turnstile, one by one. People do not come into the kingdom of heaven in groups or crowds. It is a personal thing. It's a personal encounter with Jesus, a personal reaching out for help. Like the woman with the issue of blood in the New Testament of the book of Luke, she reached out in that crowd and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? I perceive that virtue is going out from me." And this woman in the crowd was different from all others because she reached out and she was singled out from all the others and she received cleansing. This way that is narrow will not allow us to take our sins along. Going this way calls for repentance and a turning away from all sin. We can no longer run with a worldly crowd and following the world system. This way is narrow. And it is rather exclusive. Proverbs 16:17 tells us the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. It is the highway of holiness, as we saw in the prophecy in Isaiah 35. So entering the narrow way is costly, and it is unpopular. It may cost us friends, our father and mother, and our brothers and sisters may even turn against us if we choose to go the narrow way. But the blessings far outweigh the cost. Knowing you have peace and forgiveness and are in the will of God, you're building on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have eternal life. Jesus is also the way to pardon and freedom from guilt. You need forgiveness for all the years of wrongdoing, all your sinning till now. The list is big. I do not say that you should try to list them. That would be impossible. But the list is made, and God has it. If you try to think of all the bad thoughts and all of your bad deeds and all of the bad words you can possibly think of and multiply them by 10,000, then you'd have a great big heap. But listen, friends, when you come to Jesus with godly sorrow and brokenness and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," all your sins will be blotted out, all of your past will be cleansed away, and you can be justified. To me, that is terrific news. Now, you not only need pardon, you also need to be cleared from guilt. If a criminal, for example, is pardoned, and pardon is mercy, as we know, but the public still sees him as guilty, the public outcry is justice was not done. And they're right. In the courts of law, justice and mercy can never act together. If mercy is extended, justice is violated. If justice is given, there can be no mercy. How then can God extend pardon and mercy and still operate in justice? Hear the solution to this problem in Romans chapter 3, verse 26. God says, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." That's a beautiful verse. In Jesus, he can extend mercy in pardoning your sins, yet justice is not violated because Jesus died for you. He paid the price for your sins. Therefore, you're no longer guilty. Now we not only need forgiveness of our past, we not only need to be cleared from guilt, but Jesus indwelling in us also gives us deliverance from the bondage of sin. God does not forgive us and clear us from guilt and then turn us loose to live like we did before. He puts the Holy Spirit in us and gives us the dynamic so that we can live in victory and holiness all of our days and be a pure vessel for the Lord Jesus. So we have seen that Jesus is the way to God. He is the only way to God. He is your way to heaven. He is the way to eternal blessedness. How then do we get on that way? God Almighty invites you to come and enter the narrow gate and this narrow way. A beautiful invitation is given in Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Another one is in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So the only reasonable thing to do is to come to God through Christ. Don't postpone and procrastinate. Listen to the voice of God as He's calling you through the Holy Spirit. May God richly bless you as you seek the Lord as your Savior today.
We hope this message encouraged you to live your life for God and seek the truth. 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of house we lived in, how much fun we had, nor what our clothes looked like. Those things won't matter once we pass from this life. What will matter is our response to truth. It will matter what we did with Jesus and whether we allowed Him to be Lord of our life. It will matter whether we lived for ourselves or whether we lived for God and the good of others. Deciding to follow Jesus is a very important decision. Jesus tells us in the Bible that we must consider what it will cost to pledge allegiance to His kingdom. Living for Jesus is not an easy road. When we commit ourselves to Christ, we can no longer do the same things we've done before. We can no longer pursue the American dream. Like the patriarch Abraham, we too must look for an eternal city that has solid foundations, a city whose builder and maker is God. The Bible promises that when we repent and call on the Lord, God hears our prayers and honors the sincere desires of our hearts. So if this message has spoken to your heart, find a quiet place where you can talk to God while your heart is still tender. Talk to Him just like you would talk to a person. Repent of your sins and cry out for mercy. Invite Jesus to become the Lord of your life and ask Him for His Spirit. Commit yourself to a group of believers who are attempting to actually follow the teachings of Jesus and ask them to baptize you upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. When God's Spirit takes up residence in your heart, you are born again with a new spirit. As you love the Lord and walk in obedience to His teachings, you can be assured that you are on the path to eternal life. However, if you are still considering the cost of being Jesus' follower, consider also that serving God really is the only sensible choice, even if that choice is hard. If we faithfully serve the God of heaven, someday after this life we will hear Jesus say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I anticipate hearing these words of Jesus someday. It gives me inspiration to get up in the morning. It makes the hardships of this life worth living for and worth dying for. So as you count the cost of committing your life to the Lord, I hope you will make the right choice, the only reasonable choice.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's watching and waiting, watching for you. Calling, calling, oh.
Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing for you and for me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming for you and for me. Come home,
come home,
come home,
come home.
Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised.